In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My brothers and sisters, with making the sign of the cross, we make a profound profession of our faith in God, the Holy Trinity, God who has been revealed to us as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Having concluded our Easter celebration, and last Sunday coming to the climax with Pentecost, the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit, this Sunday we celebrate the solemnity of the Holy Trinity. The Catechism states, "The mystery of the Holy Trinity is the central mystery of Christian faith and life. It is the mystery of God in Himself. It is therefore the source of all other mysteries of faith, the light that enlightens them. It is the most fundamental and essential teaching in the hierarchy of the truth of faith." Well, notice the word mystery is used in that basic explanation of the Catechism, and because we can't fully, as human beings, just come up with the Holy Trinity on our own. The Holy Trinity has been revealed to us by God. And so, therefore, in faith, we say, "I believe." Well, where does the revelation come from? Well, actually, in the Old Testament, implicitly, we see the revelation of the Holy Trinity. For example, go to Genesis, and we have God the Father, who speaks, saying, "Let there be light." Creation unfolds. So the Father is speaking through His Word, capital W, Word, in His wisdom, capital W, wisdom, and that is the Son. The Father is speaking through His Son, His Word, and His wisdom. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, breathed life into this creation. And so we find then in our creed professing that through Him, meaning Jesus, all things were made. And we also say in the creed that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and the giver of life. Well, we could go on. But throughout the Old Testament, we have implicitly revealed God the Father, His Word, His wisdom, that's the Son, and the Spirit of God. Now, this becomes explicitly revealed in our New Testament. So, for us, we hold true that Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, true God, one in being with the Father, entered this world becoming also true man. The Father so loved us, He gave us His Son. As St. John records in his Gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of an only begotten Son filled with enduring truth and love. Of course, when Jesus begins His public ministry, again, there's this revelation. At the baptism scene, there's Jesus. The Gospel reads, "The heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father is heard saying, 'This is My beloved Son. Listen to Him.'" And then, as we heard in our Gospel, at the Ascension, as our Lord's ready to return to heaven, He tells the apostles, "Now you go out and you baptize in the name." Notice that. In the name, not the names. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One God, three divine persons. Now, if we wanted to try to make this a little bit understandable, we could go to Saunders' Simple Theology and do it this way. So, we start with God the Father. God is, of course, eternal. No one created God. God is eternal. God is pure, perfect truth and love. Love always seeks expression. Love is always giving. So the Father, from all eternity, perfectly expresses Himself in the Son, His Word, His wisdom. The Son, the Word, the wisdom, perfectly reflects the image of the Father. The Father, begets the Son does not create. The Son is not a creature. The Father begets the Son, the only begotten Son. They're bound in this perfect, infinite love. It's like they breathe love to each other. So much so that that love becomes personified in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. As Archbishop Sheen used to say, in looking at the Trinity, we have the lover, the Father, the beloved, the Son, and love itself, the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Trinity, one God revealed to us as three divine persons, so that you and I can know God. You and I can even see the face of God as we look upon Christ. You and I can live in the presence of the Holy Trinity through the Holy Spirit. So, my brothers and sisters, we should remember then that in this fundamental faith, we're called to live in the presence of the Trinity. After all, we're baptized in the name of the Trinity. Through baptism, sanctifying grace is infused into our soul. We become one with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The indwelling presence of the Trinity is there. Now, granted, we have to allow that grace to grow, to permeate our lives. This is why, by studying our faith, we come to know the truths of God. In knowing the truths of God, we can grow in love of God. And the love of God is that self-giving, faithful, self-sacrificing kind of love. That's Christian love. We see this modeled perfectly in Christ. Christ who went to the cross for our salvation. So every day, really, you and I ought to take time to be mindful of the Trinity by saying the Our Father reverently. Pondering those words. We're praying to the Father through the Son in union with the Spirit. We ought to look to Jesus and take time to read a passage of the Gospel or some other part of the New Testament and know Jesus better. To know Jesus, as he said, we'll come to know the Father. We need to pray to the Holy Spirit as we go through the course of our day, maybe say, Holy Spirit, give me strength. Clear up this doubt. Enlighten me, whatever it may be. We're called to live in that presence of the Holy Trinity. This, though, also overflows then into our understanding of marriage and also family life. Pope John Paul II emphasized that marriage and family life is really an icon of the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Three, just as the Holy Trinity is three distinct persons, we have distinct persons in marriage and a family bound together by love. So consider, in marriage, we have a man and a woman who are each made in God's image and likeness, and yet different. Different physically, physiologically, and for those of you who are married, you well know you're different psychologically, too. Men and women think differently. How does one get the complete picture in marriage? When man and woman become husband and wife, there's that completeness in that image and likeness of God. They take vows promising a love like God, faithful, self-sacrificing, life-giving. That love, then, in union with God, may be expressed in their marital love and overflow in the creation of a child. Isn't a child really a begetting? From mom and dad. A child is a miraculous gift from God. And then when we take it to the context of the whole family, we see how in the family, God ought to be present. It is within the family that a little child learns about God, learns the faith, receives the sacrament. It is within the family that a child learns love, faithful, self-giving, life-giving love. And so, my brothers and sisters, when we look at our basic Christian belief in the Holy Trinity, we see then the foundation for our own personal life as a Christian, but then also our life in marriage as well as in a family. And this we have to keep very sacred, which is not easy, given our world today. We live in a troubled world, and what I have just said comes under attack. How sad it is that in our world today, marriage is threatened. We see that in our own country. This June, the Supreme Court may make its own decision. Last week in Ireland, 2/3 of the people voted to change the marriage laws. But consider this. God is truth and love. And God's love is faithful, self-sacrificing, life-giving. That is the Christian understanding. If we remove ourselves from truth and just go by feelings, we feel, what are we going to have? So we change the idea of marriage. Well, where does it really stop? If it's no longer based on truth, God's truth, but just based on human feeling, where will it end? So we say, all right, man and woman, two men, two women. Well, why not man and four women, like the Quran of the Islam world would mandate? Or why not man and multiple women, like the Book of Mormon would mandate? Why not uncle and niece? Why not brother and sister? If it's all about feelings, who decides? But worse yet, if it's all about feelings, whoever takes control of the governments will impose his or her feelings on everyone else. Take it one step further. What about the children? In Christian theology, our faith, we have mom and dad nurturing children. When the little boy says to his two moms, "Who's my daddy?" or the little girl says to her two dads, "Who's my mommy? Where'd I come from?" the answer, the laboratory, is not very loving. And when the young man in California in his 20s, who went to court because he had two mommies and wanted to know who daddy was, found out he had 150 half-brothers and sisters through that laboratory, he asked, "Where's the love?" And so we're reminded then, even in the book of the Deuteronomy, when Moses is taking the people to the promised land, if you want to prosper, keep the statutes and commandments of God. So my brothers and sisters, we're Christians. We profess our faith in the Holy Trinity, but that demands we love a God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is the source of all love, all truth, perfectly revealed by our Savior Jesus Christ. And his truth continues to be taught through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who always guides our church. May we be faithful witnesses to the Holy Trinity in our lives, in marriages, and in our families, because that is when we will see love truly reflected in our world. May God bless you.